Welcome to the DuPage Vineyard Teaching Channel. Thank you for joining us.
So I'm going to take a little bit of poetic license. So picture with me, if you will. We're back in Israel, all right? Back many, 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 many years ago. There's the temple. And around the temple, you got the outer courts. And this is where anybody could go to. And then you go through a gate, and it's the women's court, okay? And this is where they had all of the boxes set up. There was like 9 or 10 different boxes for taking different kind of... There was the offering, there was the temple tax, there was all sorts of different things that you could put money into in these little boxes, and it was as you went into the women's court. And then from the women's court, there was another gateway that the men would go through, and then that was the men's court. And then from there was another place that only the high priest could go to, okay? And so Jesus is at the temple, and he's teaching. And this, you can find this in Mark chapter 12. You can also find this in Luke chapter 20 and 21, the things that he's teaching about there at the temple. And so Jesus has got his disciples, and he's teaching. Crowds are coming in. People are coming in. All the people around. So it's hot, right? We can picture that. That's pretty easy to picture after last week. You know, they're sitting out there, and well, I don't know if it's hot or not, but this is my story. So anyway, okay. So they're in the temple courts, and Jesus is teaching to them. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit nudges him and says, hey, it's time. And it says that Jesus stopped and he looked up. He's like, hey, guys, come here. He gets his disciples, come here. Watch this. Right, yeah, right over there. You can imagine the disciples going, yeah, okay, there's people coming in. What are you talking? What's going on? What are we watching? Jesus is like, no. Watch what's going to happen over there. And the people are walking in to put their money into the offering. This one guy walks up. He's all very rich. Reaches in, pulls out his bag, yeah, dumps it in, makes all the noise going into the box, takes his bag, puts it back in, and walks back in. Meanwhile, there's this poor widow, this old lady, walking up. People are rushing past, pushing past her. She's not quite as fast as everyone else, moving through because they want to get to the good spot and be able to get right to the front, and they're pushing through and passing, and she's walking up. This other guy comes up with his whole entourage, walks up. He's got his servants behind him, gets to the box, give me the bag. They give him the bag. He's got a great big old bag. Just dumps this whole thing into the treasury. Gives back the bag. Let's go. Walks in. Does his thing. Other people walking up. People doing their thing. Giving their money. All this kind of stuff. Finally, the poor widow makes it up to the box. She gets there and she pulls out 2 small copper coins. The smallest coins that they had available to them. She looks at her 2 copper coins. Now, with these 2 copper coins, the value that she held in her hand, she could buy 1/8 of a loaf of bread. So you got a loaf of bread. Cut that in half. You got a half a loaf. Cut that in half. What do we got now? We got 1/4. Cut that in half. Now you got 1/8. That's what she could buy with those 2 copper coins. 1/8 of a piece of bread. She takes her coins. She drops them in, and she goes into worship. Now Jesus is back here with his disciples. Did you guys see that? That was awesome. Did you guys see that? Well, yeah. Did you see the size of that bag that guy had? My goodness. Like, I imagine how much money. Jesus is like, no. The woman, the poor woman. Well, what about her? The 2 copper coins that she had. That was everything she had to live on. She gave everything she had. She's got nothing left. And she gave it to God in worship. That's amazing. When we give, do we make Jesus stop and take notice? She did. Now, I can't imagine. I can't see you guys over there. Sorry, I had to move that. I look over to my left, and all I see is a music sheet. Hey, how's it going over there? Now, I can't imagine that Jesus would have left her in that situation. They had money given to them, and they would give it to the poor. It doesn't say what Jesus did after that, but Jesus was clearly impressed with what she gave. And it wasn't the amount, it was the heart, right? And he stopped and he took notice of what she did. Well, today we're continuing our series on being financially free, and today we're talking about sowing and reaping. Last week, Doug talked about tithing, and one of his main points I really liked, just to kind of read it to you to make sure I get it right, but the more we learn to give, the more we become like God, get the heart of God, and learn about God. That was Doug's main point last week with the whole tithing thing. So this week we're talking about, we're springboarding off of that, talking about the sowing and reaping and the giving. Sowing and reaping is just a general thing that we practice all the time in our lives, right? I mean, we know about sowing and reaping. If you plant a garden, what are you going to get? The stuff that you plant, right? That's one very general sense of sowing and reaping. What do we always tell our kids we need to do in school? Study hard. Why do we tell our kids to study hard? Oh, come on. This is an easy one. Why do we tell our kids to study hard? To get the good job, right? That's what everybody always told me. You got to study hard so you can get the good job. What's that an example of? Sowing and reaping, right? We believe in sowing and reaping, although in our economy nowadays, it's not always the case. But, you know, I got to admit that I didn't sow very well in my education. But I learned other things that were more important to me. So, health. We make choices with our health. I've actually tried to change some things, and I'm looking forward to start reaping some of the benefits of the changes I've made in my own health, right? But it takes time to see things. And things aren't just automatic, but I'm making choices and decisions that way. Relationships. We sow and reap in our relationships. If I'm constantly looking for the better of the other person, I'm sowing into the other person. What am I expecting to reap back? You know, love, kinship, whatever, all the other, a good relationship, right? But if I'm walking around all the time and, oh, I can't stand this person. What am I going to be reaping back from that person? You know, so we could see these things sowing and reaping in all sorts of different areas. When it comes to the area of finances, though, we seem to have a real hard time trusting God in the area of finances when it comes to sowing and reaping, don't we? Like, what did Jesus say? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you think God knows that money is really precious to us? Our finances are really precious to us? Like, well, I need this, right? You know, like, you have no idea what I'm facing. So in the area of finances, it can be really challenging for us to see the sowing and reaping. Now, the thing to remember is that finances in the kingdom of heaven do not work like in the kingdom of earth. Okay? We are in the kingdom of heaven, partaking in the kingdom of heaven, if we are followers, believers in Jesus Christ. If we confess that He is our way to salvation, the only way to salvation, that He is of God, and we are His followers, we're His disciples, we are living in the kingdom of heaven to a certain extent. It's going to be fulfilled later on to a fuller extent, right? Would you guys agree? Finances in the kingdom of heaven work differently than in the kingdom of the world. In the kingdom of the world, it's very formulaic. I do this, then I get this. I do this, I get this. I do this, then I get this, right? Sometimes I've heard teaching on finances that's very formulaic. If I give God this, then I'm going to get this. If I do this, then I get this. And if I do this, then I do this. Now, if I reduce the things of God to formula, who's in control? Me or God? Me. I make God a genie in a bottle. I give God this, then I do this, then I get this. I do this, I do this, I get this, right? Okay, and there's just the formula thing. We love formulas because we love to be in control. Jesus gets rid of the formulaic and takes everything to the heart. Jesus said this so you can be mad at Him, not me. I'm just telling you what He said. You say that if you murder someone, that's wrong, right? I tell you, if you have hatred for this person in your heart, in God's eyes, you've already committed murder. Can you imagine what they thought back then? Because they were very formulaic. Don't. What do you mean I've already? I haven't hurt anybody. It's just in me. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's just my thoughts. Yeah, we don't got time to talk about all that. But anyway, or how about this? I don't hear this one very often either. And you know, this one, it's tough, especially in guys and where we're living at now in our day and age and all the stuff that's around us. Really challenging. But Jesus said, if you even lust after a woman, in God's eyes, you already committed adultery. Come on, man! See, Jesus takes it out of the formulaic and He brings it right into relationship. He makes it right into the heart of the issue. Does He do anything different with finances? Of course not. Right? So you can get rid of the formulaic. If I do this, then I get this. If I do this, then I get that. No, it doesn't work that way. But I can tell you with 100% complete, utter conviction and experience, and I don't know how to emphasize this enough, but I know that when you sow, you reap. When you give, you get back. And it may not always be financially. There could be other ways and stuff like that too, but I know that I know that I know, and I'll give you some of my experiences. I'll share one of my stories that I've already sacrificed my treasures in heaven for, because, you know, it says to do things in secret. If you let the right hand know or whatever, you know, so I already sacrificed this one, so you guys can get in on this one. I'm not going to tell you about all my giving. All right, so I'm in Port Huron, and I'm working for this inner city ministry. Port Huron is just across from Sarnia. It's north of Detroit. There's a lot of gangs and drug stuff in the neighborhood. Where I moved, they had to change my front door because it was full of bullet holes. That was the neighborhood I moved into. But this is where God was taking me, and I knew this is where I was supposed to be. Well, I wasn't making a whole lot. I was making $11,000 a year. And I'm like, oh, Lord, are you sure? But I'm like, okay, I'm going to trust you because I know that this is where you got me going. So I'm working there and doing things, building relationships with these people. And there's this lady right across the parking lot from me and living in her house. She's got two boys. The dad's in jail, like most of the families in that area. It was just a real broken situation. And so I've been taking the kids to church, trying to reach out and minister to them. Comes close to Christmas time. Now, I have $5. That's it. I can't go to the bank and get any money because I got none. I got $5. That's it. And I need to put gas in my car. I was going to the Vineyard Church in Sarnia during the week on Wednesday nights. I had back then we called it a kinship group, but our cell group. A cell group was on Wednesday nights, and this was the only time I could go and get ministered to, because the rest of the time I'm just pouring out, and on Sundays I'm teaching kids' church and doing all those other kind of stuff, running around, working in all these different churches. But on Wednesdays, man, it was a time to take a breath. I couldn't hardly wait for Wednesdays to come around. It was so awesome going and experiencing for the first time, like, just God being so alive and active in ways that I'd never seen before. And I'm just like, oh, I love going there. So I got $5. It's going to cost me $1.50 to go across the bridge and $1.50 to come back. So now I've got $2 to put gas in my car. And $2 would get me there and back and have just a little bit left over. I'm thinking, okay, I don't know what I'll do for the rest of the week. I got some food. I'm good. Okay. I'm going. I got my $5, so I'm going to do this thing. This lady comes up to me and says, Ken, I want to buy some Christmas gifts for my kids. I haven't had a chance to go shopping, and I was wondering if you could take me to the mall. This is the day before. This is on Tuesday. So I was wondering if you could take me to the mall. And I'm like, oh, my car is empty. Okay. I'm like, if I take her to the mall, that means I have to put the $5 in my gas. That means I won't, or in my tank, and I won't have enough gas to get there and back, and I won't have any money left over to get across the bridge. So if I take her to the mall, I'm not going. There's no way I can do it. And I'm praying about it. And I'm like, Lord, I really want to go. But you know what? You said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added to you. So I'm going to choose to minister to this woman instead of going and getting ministered to. So I said, fine. All right, yep, I'll take you. So I took her to the mall. Waited around about 40, 45 minutes, sitting in my car, listening to the radio, just kind of waiting for her to come back out. She came back out. She was really happy, really blessed. And she wanted to give me $15. And I said, no. I didn't do this so you could give me any money, because I know she's poor as well. Okay, I know she doesn't have anything. And she says, no, I really want to, I so appreciate it. I really want to give you this $15. And I'm like, well, if I don't take it, thank you. I say to her, now inside, I'm going crazy because I'm like, woo! Not only do I got money to go across the bridge, I got gas, I can also buy a little bit of food. Yeah! I'm like, hallelujah! So I took, $5, sowed it, and God gave me back. Okay? So the sowing and reaping is all over the place. I can't tell you the number of times that people, God would bring money from totally unexpected places. Like somebody give me what they call a brotherly handshake with a $50 bill in it. That's cool. I like that. Just letters coming in the mail with checks in them. Things like that are happening. Just recently, Aiko and I got $600. We got two checks. Totally, completely unexpected. Didn't even know what was going on. We got $600, two different checks for $300 given to us just in time to pay our auto insurance for the next 6 months. Just came out of the mail. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And you may not know my financial situation or our situation and what we're going on, but we've made choices that we're going to just trust and not try to figure it out ourselves. So I could tell you with absolute surety that sowing and reaping works. It does. I've seen it, and I've seen it so many times in my life, and I've seen it in the lives of so many other people. And I'm not talking just about getting money. In so many different avenues and so many different areas and things. Steve, could you help me grab this table real quick, or... Let me get on the way from the speakers. Let's just pick it up and move it right over here. Okay. And, okay, go back your direction a little bit. Bring it out this way a little. That should work. Okay. Can you guys see that okay? Or should I pull it back a little bit? Once Steve sits down, he might be able to see a little better. Thank you, Steve. So let's look and see what Jesus has to say, shall we? Let's go to That would be a special Bible. Luke 6, 37 through 38. If your Bible has Luke 63, I would suggest you get another Bible. Okay. Luke 6, verses 37 through 38. This is what he says. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Makes sense, right? If you're walking around judging people all the time, what are you going to expect to be getting back in your life quite a bit of? Judgment. I've experienced that. I learned the hard way. Okay, sowing and reaping. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Do you think Jesus is trying to manipulate us? Do you think Jesus is trying to manipulate us? Obviously not, right? I mean, Jesus doesn't do that. So what is he saying? Give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Forgive, you'll be forgiven, you know, and the whole thing. A good measure, pressed down and poured out. Now, last night, I bought this bag of chips at the dollar store. Now, that's pretty good, right? A bag this size for a dollar? That's a good deal. Well, the chips start right there. That's where the chips start. Does that seem like a good deal now? Would you say that that's a good measure? I would say this would be a good measure, right? That's not a good measure, but that's marketing. We'll sell them this great big bag for a dollar. Look at the deal they're getting. Yeah. If anybody likes chips, you can have them. Anywho. Now, a while ago, a couple years ago, I heard this farmer preacher. He's not a farmer anymore, but he grew up on a farm. I love guys that grew up on a farm. How about you? Oh, that's me. Sorry. So anyway, I'm biased. And he told a story. He was talking about this passage. He told a story. They would go to a fruit market, and when they would go to the fruit market and buy, because they can't grow all the stuff yourself, right? So they would go to the fruit market, and they would buy. And it was owned by a Christian couple. Now, you might say, but that's a pretty good-sized basket, right? That's pretty full. It's not bad, right? But that's not how they ran their business. They said, that's not pressed down and shaken and overflowing and running over. When they went to the fruit market, and if anything fell out, the lady found a way to make it stick back in again. And when they sold stuff, because they wanted to honor God and be a living example of how God is interacting with us, this is how I need to juggle. This is how they would sell their baskets. And literally, he said, if stuff was falling out, they would find a way to put it back in. Now, would you say that that's a good measure? Pressed down, overflowing? Yeah. Me too. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about, hey, you know, thanks so much for giving that. I really appreciate that. That was good of you. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking pressed down, overflowing, good measure, coming back to you. Do you think that that's the heart of Jesus? So he's sitting there, he's taking stuff. He's like, let's put some happiness in there. Let's put some happiness in there. Let's put some joy in there. Let's put some peace in there. Let's put some finances in there as well. Let's get some compassion from God. Yeah, you know, and just kind of fill in your basket full of stuff coming back to you from God as you're sowing and reaping, right? That's what he's talking about. So, in my mind, no matter what we're facing, we can afford to be generous. That's what I've experienced. I can afford to be generous. Challenging, tough, hard, scary sometimes, but we can afford to be generous. Actually, I believe we cannot afford not to be generous. Does that make sense? Did I say that right? We cannot afford to not be generous. One of the biggest things I've had to learn over the last couple of years that I've been going through some of our financial challenges and difficulties. I had some investment properties that went south and just a whole lot of other things. And so looking at that, that's like, looks like Mount Everest, you know, and just some of the things that are going on. And now God has been delivering us from these things. So one of the biggest things I've had to learn is that I'm not going to trust in my mammon. That's an old word for finances, right? For money. I'm not going to trust in my money. I'm not going to trust in my finances. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in Yahweh, in Yeshua, in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to trust in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to trust in my finances. I'm not going to trust in my ability to figure it out. I'm not going to trust in my cleverness. I'm not going to trust in my ability to work my way out of it. I'm not going to trust in the money that I have saved up. That's tough, because I've stashed away some money because I know I got stuff coming, but I'm not going to trust in that. I'm going to trust in the one who is the deliverer. I'm going to trust in the one who is for me, not against me, in the eternal one who knows all and sees all. I'm going to trust in the one who is my deliverer, my redeemer. I'm going to trust in the one who has plans for me that I don't even know about yet. I'm going to trust in the one who has it all figured out. That was something that got really pressed on me this last year. Is one of the situations with the property, people breaking in, stole the furnaces, water heaters, and I can't turn the water off because the people that did it had put in no water shutoff valve, and I'm in a brace with my wrist, and I can't do any work myself, and I'm not going to pay a plumber because they cost an arm and a leg. No offense if there's any plumbers out there, but I had enough problems with my arm already. Well, I can't do any of the work myself. I hate paying people work for things that I can do myself. But anyway, sometimes we have to swallow our pride and do it. But I'm in this brace. I can't do any work. Everything's been stolen out of the place. There's no heat in there. The walls are ripped open. The pipes are all exposed, and we get this deep. It's been pretty warm going through December and into January, and then we hit the snap of super, super cold water. And I've been around pipes my whole life. I know what happens when it gets super cold and pipes are exposed. They split and crack and water goes everywhere. And I'm praying about this. God, please, supernaturally, protect these pipes. Keep them from getting, exploding and making a huge mess. Even worse than all, I mean, they've stolen all the copper wire out of the place. Holes in the walls, fixtures, everything. I mean, they've just obliterated this place, right? So, but I'm trusting in God because God is bigger than all of this. He's bigger than all of this. And he's got it figured out. I don't. So I go in there, and I finally get a chance to go down to the property, and it's been really cold, and I'm just really worried about what I'm going to find in there. But I just keep praying, God, please, I just pray for a supernatural miracle. And I get to the property, I get inside. The pipes are stolen and gone. They were galvanized. They had left them for the longest time. I keep sealing it back up. They keep breaking in. I file a police report. They break in. I seal it back up, make a police report. It's just this ongoing circle of never-ending chaos. But anyway, I go in there. The pipes are all gone. But this is the amazing thing. Somehow, the water got turned off. And I've torn this place upside and down. There was no shutoff. I even had a plumber come out and help me to try to find the shutoff to the house at the street. There isn't any. So how did the water get turned off? I don't know. Still to this day, I don't know. But I was praising God. And this is what I heard God say to me. Ken, you don't have the big picture. You don't have all the answers. You don't know. What he said to me is, this is word for word, you don't have all the facts. And I'm like, oh, man, of course I don't have all the facts. I had the facts that pipes, when they get cold, and they freeze and burst, and it's a mess, right? That's what I had. I had no idea the water was turned off. God had already taken care of it. I didn't have all the facts. So I am not going to trust in my ability to figure it out, or in my finances, or anything. I'm going to trust in the one who is for me and not against me. The eternal one who knows all and sees all. The one who is my deliverer and my redeemer. The one who has plans for me that I don't even know about yet. Isn't that exciting? He has plans for us that we don't even know about yet. I love in Ephesians 2. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2, 9 and 10. Good verses, man. Write them down. Anyway, I'm going to trust in him, not my circumstances or in my balance sheet. This is what I really have learned over this past year, one of the big things. For sure, I need to do my part. I need to be responsible. There are areas where I need to make sacrifices, then I make those sacrifices. You know what I'm saying? I need to be responsible with how I'm spending and doing other things. I mean, I'm not just talking being lazy and irresponsible and just saying, oh, God's going to do it. You know, that's not what I'm saying, right? There's our part in the thing, too. But even if I do everything that I possibly can, is there anything I can do about my situation? I can tell you, no. There's nothing I can do about my situation. They keep stalling and don't want to answer the questions, and they keep putting off court and putting off court and putting off court. So now they just keep dragging on and on and on and on. There's nothing I can do about it, but you know who's got it figured out? God does. You know who's going to deliver me and work this stuff out no matter what happens? God is. No matter what happens, even if it looks like it's horrible, if things look like they totally, like a tidal wave comes and hits me, I am standing on the rock. And he will be my deliverer no matter what. So sowing and reaping. Finances in the kingdom of heaven do not work like the finances in the kingdom of earth. Got this money stored away that we're saving up for the stuff that's coming, and God is like, no, I want you to give some of that. But I got all this stuff over here. Yeah, but I want you to give some of that. Okay, where can I sow this? I love sowing into God's work. The things that God is doing, I love being able to sow into those things. Because I know I love sowing into fertile soil. I'm a farmer. Sow into good soil, you get a good return. I love sowing into the things that God is doing, the good stuff that God is doing. So I'm like, all right, so where do you want me to give this and how do you want me to sow? Well, you're not going to get all the details because those are my treasures in heaven. Remember, do not store for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store for yourself treasures in heaven where thieves cannot break in and steal. Can I get an amen? Okay, anyway. Whew. So this is what Paul says. Paul in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, Paul is coming back to the city of Corinth because he's picking up an offering that's been promised to him. He's been going around to different cities gathering up an offering that he's taking back to the Christians in Jerusalem because the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering big time. There was a lot of persecution. Why did the church spread out to Jerusalem? Because there was a lot of persecution. And they went everywhere. And what happened when the Christians went everywhere? It's like little embers in dry tinder. What happens in a forest fire when the embers spread? The whole thing goes up, right? And it jumps and fire can go. Guess what happened to Christianity? What happened to the faith in Jesus Christ when people spread? Like a wildfire everywhere. So everybody was saying, oh, this terrible persecution. God's like, yeah, but you don't understand. I'm in control. So Christianity spread all over the place. Paul's going around and he's getting money to bring to the people in Jerusalem. And he's been telling people as he's been going, man, these Christians in Corinth, the people over there in Corinth, this is what they're giving. This is what they promised to do. And the other people are getting stirred up. Well, if they can do that, so can we. And so these people are getting stirred up as Paul is sharing the things. And so he's been kind of bragging about them, right? So now he's like, I'm coming back and I want you to be ready so that we're not embarrassed. Because I've been telling people what you said and the commitment you made, and it's been stirring people up, and I don't want you to be embarrassed, and I don't want to be embarrassed. I just want to let you know I'm coming to get the offering that you promised kind of thing. So you're on the same page here? Following what I'm saying? So he's really trying to encourage them and help them to keep their focus, and this is what he says. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. You get that? Not under guilt. Not under manipulation of what some guy up on the stage is saying to you or whatever, right? Or behind the pulpit here or whatever you want to call it. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, I want to give this to you with some of the Greek that's in there. Because to me, it's just so powerful, okay? Three things that I want to point out about the Greek. Because the Bible, if you don't know, was written in Greek. It was written in the common language Greek of the time, and it's been translated into lots of different languages. Of course, obviously, English as well, that we're working with. But sometimes in translations, you lose some of the emphasis and everything. Now, many of the verbs are in the emphatic contrast. What that means is it's not just a little. So God is able to bless you. Not just a little bless you, but really, really able to bless. Like very, very able to bless you. Okay? That's the emphatic of many of the verbs in here. Another word is, you got this one? Dynateo, which is the word that we got able. And God is able to bless you. Dynateo, what this is that it's unstoppably able or overwhelmingly able to bless you, all right? The next one I want to go to is abound, which is right towards the end. You will abound in every good work. And it's actually easier for me to read this in the Greek. I have a hard time reading it in English and saying it correctly. Isn't that weird? Those are the longest 2 years of my life. But anyway, paraseo, there we go, paraseo. It means all around, indicating abundance or beyond the expected measure. So now I want to read this verse to you again with the emphasis found in the Greek. You guys ready for this? Can we do it? Okay. Okay, here we go. Ready? Stretch, move around. Get yourself. I can do it. Okay, here we go. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap very, very sparingly. Now, I didn't write this. I'm just telling you what it says. And whoever sows generously will also reap very, very generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a very, very cheerful giver. And God is very, very unstoppably able. Very, very unstoppably able. Remember Doug's main point last week? When we give, we're learning to capture the heart of God. What do you think God's heart is towards us? What does that mean, unstoppably able? Nobody can stop God from doing it. Not even you. Right? If you're following in with what he's given you and where you're at, you think, oh, I made a mistake. I'm going to lose everything. No. Your heart has continued to be turned towards God. Nothing is stopping God from doing it. No height nor depth. Remember that? Where Paul is talking about that, the love of God? I don't know if you can capture the image that's there, but how much God is for you, for us, for me. He is unstoppably, very, very unstoppably able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in unexpected measure in every good work. So if you were reading the Greek and you understood the Greek, that's what you would be reading. A little better than English, don't you think? A little more in-depth, a little more oomph to it, right? That's why I love the Greek. It's like, ah, yeah. It's like, anyway, I'll leave it alone. I'll move on. So, the idea of sowing and reaping, and the fact that finances work differently in the kingdom of heaven than they do in the kingdom of earth. One of the things, and I need the ushers to come up and give me a hand, and Aiko, if you guys could come up and help me. One of the things that Paul talks about on a regular basis is the fact that when the people were giving, we'll set that one aside. That'll be mine.
Okay, there you go.
You just set it on the table. Thank you. Here, can you just take these out and start handing them out, passing them around? No, Steve, we're using the baskets to pass. Thank you, though. I appreciate your help. You can take a basket if you want. We're letting people kind of grab them themselves and. You can take a basket. Thank you. All right. So one of the things Paul talks about is that when the people would sow into what he was doing, he says this in so many different letters, that you are involved, you are joining him in what he is doing. So when he's reaping the rewards for the work he's doing for God, you also are reaping those rewards because you sowed into this ministry. You gave, you made it avail, you made it possible for me to be here to do these things. So as I'm reaping these rewards, you're reaping these rewards as well. Now, Paul was going to the different cities and he's like, these guys over here gave, and this is Abel because these guys gave, and this is what these guys did, how sacrificially these gave. Now, these people are getting stirred up. And God is working in them and saying, wow, that's a great thing that they did. Let us give as well. And we want to give. And now Paul goes to the next place. Now, the people that started sowing from over here are not only reaping from here and reaping from here, but they're also reaping from over here. Because we have no idea how far, when we sow, we have no idea how far these things travel. When you have an apple and you eat the apple, what do you have left over? Seeds. And if you put the seeds in the ground, as long as they're not genetically modified, what do you get? Another apple tree. You have no idea how far, when you sow, that reaping is going to carry you. You have no idea how far God is going to take that, how far it's going to run. Thank you so much. That's the whole idea. God is unstoppably able to bless you abundantly. When you give, pressed down in good measure, pouring back into your lap. We have no idea how far God is going to run with even just 2 copper coins. Because it's not the amount. It's the heart, right? So I love that courtside. I didn't tell you about this little story. I was gonna give you a story before I started. But courtside, this church sows, well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'll get there in just a moment. I'll tell you the story. So one of the things that the questions I ask myself then is, where can I sow? What is God doing around me, and how do I sow into it? Obviously, when I give to the church, I'm not giving to the church. I'm giving to God. The church is the avenue by which I give to God. And there are things that we do together as a corporate body. Could we even be here if people didn't give of their finances and their time? Time is a huge thing too, right? Sowing your time. So we couldn't even be here if the worship band wasn't able to. If people weren't giving, we couldn't pay our bills. They would kick us out. We wouldn't even be able to do that. So the fact that we're here gathered together, we're ministering to people, people are coming in. There are people in our congregation that have gone through some tough times that have come to the church and asked for help that we have helped and we didn't even know. Our seeds just went even further. There are people from outside of the community, some poor people that were having some troubles and they come to the church and we were able to help. Why? Because we sowed seeds into the kingdom of heaven to enable the church to do the things that they were doing, right? To enable the ministry that was happening. And so as we're giving and these things are happening, the food giveaway. Maybe you're not able to make it to the food giveaway, but you know what? Your dedication to the church in different ways, whatever function that roles, and the finances that you pour into it enable those things to happen, right? Courtside ministry. Our church is one of the, right now there's two churches supporting, but we're supporting quite a substantial amount of the expenses of courtside ministry to help carry that ministry forward. So as you're coming and you're giving, you're ministering at courtside in Wheaton, and you didn't probably realize that, did you? But you're sowing into that. This past week, 2 weeks ago, this lady came out of the court. She's a brand new Christian. She's a Muslim, and she just accepted Christ. She saw Jesus in a dream. Do you know how many Muslims I've heard that are seeing Jesus in dreams and coming to salvation? In fact, Tom Strenning was telling me on YouTube, there's an imam from Africa somewhere that's saying that he is really concerned because so many young Muslims are coming to Christ. They're losing in one generation. They're going to have lost the whole group of people from Islam. We don't hear about that in the news, do we? Hallelujah. Okay. So this lady's telling us a story about like how she came to Christ and the dream that she saw. And she's going in all these details and stuff. And it's just a pleasure. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. So we pray for her. And then we're going about our cleaning up. And there's this lady over way on the other far side that Mike Kinnapple was talking to. And I took some stuff over there, and all of a sudden I got a word for her, and I was like, you know, I just really feel like God wants to do this for you. And I gave her, well, actually the word, I saw like the perfume, the fragrance. And Jesus just broke it open, smash, on this rock. And like perfume, just, you can't, if you were right there and a perfume bottle exploded like that, a big perfume, you would reek of perfume, right? You're not going to get away. You would walk out and people would be like, woo! And I just saw it was joy. Just joy that he was breaking over her. He just wanted to release this like bomb of joy, just splash all over her life. Not anything that she could do, right? But he just wanted to release. And then Tom started talking to her about the fact that we have no idea what this woman's going through. And Tom started talking to her about the fact that we were just talking to this lady. She was a Muslim and she just gave her life to Christ. And all these young people in Africa are coming to Christ, leaving the Islamic faith and coming to faith in Christ. And this lady is just crying, and she says, I'm here now because my husband just became a Muslim, and he's taking my son into the mosque, and I'm a Christian, and I don't know what to do about it. And she's going through divorce and all that other kind of stuff. So she's going through this stuff, dealing with the whole Islamic stuff, and she's losing her son, and she's so afraid of what's going to happen. And here Tom, having no idea, we just met this woman who was Muslim, comes to faith, and goes over here and shares with her this very thing. We have no, that's just God. I mean, it's just fun. Okay, but see, you are reaping the rewards of that stuff too, because you're sowing into it. You didn't even know. That's why I love coming back and giving you reports about what things that God is doing. I love to celebrate what God is doing. So it's just fun. So thank you for being part of that and making that possible. Thank you. God bless you guys. So when we give, we're sowing, and we're sowing into the things around us, the avenues that God is doing. Another one that we could sow into around here real easily, and I haven't talked to Dave and Anita. They don't even know I'm talking about this. This is just me. Children's Relief International. We have a set up on the back counter out there, ways that you can get involved. These are children that are, many of them are orphans. They have no way of living. They'd be just dying on their own. A lot of them suffering from diseases and other kind of things, AIDS and stuff. But there's ways that they've, I mean, God's doing amazing things over there with just some nutritional stuff that they can get that just actually takes a person who was like days away from death, and within 2 weeks they're fully restored because of the nutritional supplement that they have that's actually readily absorbable by the body and doesn't make them sick. Isn't that amazing? God is so smart. So this is just a coin bag. You can just take your loose change and put it in here. And when you get so much, you take it to the bank, you turn it in, get a cashier's check for the amount and give it to Children's Relief International. Or if you want, there's also a way to sponsor children at Tesla Grace through Children's Relief International. Actually, you can see some of the pictures of the kids back on the back wall back there. But for $40, you can support a child, $40 a month, you can support a child. Or if that's too much and you don't think you can do that, you could do $25 a month and do a partial support. So they would join you with someone else to help pay for, you know, partial support of the child. I'm willing to say, and since I haven't talked to Anita, she may kick me for this, but I'm willing to say, because I know Anita's heart, that if you said, I can't even do 25, I could do 15 a month, or I could do 10 a month, I'm sure Anita would find a way to make that work. If you wanted to sew just even that amount in a month, I'm pretty sure Anita would find a way to make that work, right? But these are just some things that you can easily sew into around you with what God is doing around us right now. And I mean, there's so many things that we could give to, right? So many ways that we could give. Do you know that in America, America is one, across the world, America is, I think, the most generous nation in the world when it comes to charitable giving? Because there's still so many Christians that are giving, right? People that are coming out of churches are connected and that kind of stuff. And giving has just been something that we're kind of raised up with. Our church, I mean, I'm flabbergasted. I know we have a lot of generosity in the church. I mean, we raised, what was it last year for the Tesla Grace at Christmas time? Was it $16,000? Huh? $19,000 from our little group. $19,000. I'd say that's a pretty good sewing. I mean, that's huge. So I know in one sense I'm kind of talking to the choir when it comes to giving and stuff like that, right? But just the concept of taking that I'm not going to trust in and all these other things. I'm going to trust in the one who sees it all and knows all. And I'm going to just practice the sowing and reaping in that regard. So let's have the band come up and have the ushers get ready as we move into worship. And we're going to be taking the offering. And the offering, again, that's just our avenue of giving worship to God with our tithes and our offerings. And so that's really what it's all about. We're worshiping God when we do that. And remember what Paul said, do not feel pressure to give. Give what you have decided, not under compulsion or under pressure, and do it with thanksgiving and worship to God. And this is simply an avenue to that end. Now, the last thing that I want to say, and this could seem like guilt or manipulation, but that's not the heart of it. The heart of it, this is something that we as believers, as we live out our lives in faith in Christ, that for us to keep in our hearts, to keep in our hearts, and it's simply this. When we give, when you give, does it cause Jesus to take notice? Again, it's not the amount, it's the heart. But when you give, does it cause Jesus to take notice?
This has been a DuPage Vineyard Church production.